Well, welcome. We're going to begin a new study tonight, and we're going to start in the Pentateuch. So we're going to do an overview this evening of the Pentateuch, and then we'll go right into Genesis. If you look at your study guide, you're going to see you've got an outline and see that we start here with the Pentateuch. Now, the Pentateuch is comprised of the first five books of the Bible, and you can see we've got those listed here. And we're going to be reading all of these books here. We're going to start, obviously, with Genesis, the beginning, and we'll go through. But what's so interesting is I remember being scared to read the Old Testament. And I'll be fair with you. I remember going through and reading and just having no idea what I was reading. I mean, wait till we get to Chronicles and we have all these names and the genealogies. And I thought, man. However, the more I read, and I didn't give up on it, the more I realized there are very significant principles that are embedded in the Old Testament. And I remember Jane saying something in one of the Women of the Word classes that I attended. And she said, if I remember it correctly, it's something that's very probably familiar to you, but it's the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Now, we know the Pentateuch, these first five books of the Bible, they give the law. It's referred to as the law. I've been doing a little reading on the history of the Bible. And the Pentateuch here is also, it's called the Torah. It's what the Jewish people recognize as the instruction, the law. It's the first part of the Tanakh, which is an acronym, Torah being the first part. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In reading through this, you're going to see, and we're going to read many, many times, God said, God spoke, God gave a vision or a dream, gave instruction. And what you can glean from that is you automatically can see, or at least for me anyway, it's obvious that this is the inspired word of God. This is God's word. And so, no, we are not living under the law. We're not under the law today. We operate under a new covenant. But that doesn't mean that it's not important for us to glean the principles from it. You know, you think about the fact that God is the same yesterday as He is today as He'll be tomorrow. And so just because we're under a new covenant doesn't mean that the principles that were given yesterday aren't still important for us to recognize. I thought about a conversation that I had yesterday with some friends, and we were talking about Leviticus. And somebody had said to my friends, we'll read the Old Testament and we'll read part of the Pentateuch, but we skip Leviticus. Like, you can't skip Leviticus, because if you skip Leviticus, you're missing the 16th chapter, and then you don't understand the full redemptive work of Jesus. And so, but I didn't know that had I not read Leviticus, because it can be a little overwhelming. It's very specific. I mean, there's some blood, there's some gore, there's some issues with skin. You got to get through all that. You got to find the principles. But what I have noticed in my diligence and sticking with the Old Testament is that actually Jesus Himself is revealed through this. And I believe you're going to find that. And my prayer for you and my prayer for me is that the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to us as we read. We're going to see right off the bat, once we dive into Genesis, in the beginning God. And Jesus is right in there. And we're going to explain that to you in more detail here in a little bit. But y'all, pay attention with your spiritual eyes. Be looking with your spiritual eyes and listening with your spiritual ears for our Lord. Please don't write this off as this is not important for me today. Because this is the inspired Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what, this Word has endured for thousands of years, written by more than 40 people, and it took a period of 1,500 years to do that. And there's not one thing in this book that contradicts itself. It's amazing. It gives me chills when I think about it. I told Pete right before we came out, y'all know we pray every time before we come out here, because it is a lofty, weighty thing to stand before people with the Word of God. And I said, it's paradoxical that the created is teaching about the Creator. But God, who lives inside of me and of this man of God, will be the teacher.
When Heather said that, she said, you know, isn't it paradoxical that the created is teaching about the Creator? And I said, well, the advantage is that the Creator lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the Spirit, He's just revealing Himself. Let me say this about the Old Testament. If you look at the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul writing says the natural came first,
mm-hmm.
then the spiritual. And so when you look at the Old Testament, You're seeing the natural first. So it's loaded with principles.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot understand the New Testament without understanding of the Old Testament. And it would amaze you how much of the New Testament is actually quoted from the Old Testament. You ever heard, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said that to Satan, he's quoting from Deuteronomy. And you'll see that Jesus used the Old Testament a lot. Paul used the Old Testament a lot. These writers refer back to the Old Testament. And so the Old Testament is showing us principles so to help us understand the spiritual. For instance, in Romans chapter 1, speaking of the people who had rejected God, God said they were out without excuse because the visible things that are seen testify of God. And so we can read these visible things that the invisible brought into existence, which testifies of God. You understand, creation is something seen, but something unseen made the seen.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it's extremely important to know the Old Testament. Now, another thing is often said, and Moses is attributed to writing the Pentateuch. Well, in reality, Moses himself did not write those five books. What Moses did was record things that God told him to record, and then someone else compiled those into these five books that we call the Pentateuch. Obviously, Moses did not write about his death after he's died. And being the meekest man on earth, he wouldn't have said, I'm the meekest man on earth. You with me? And actually, if you'll pay attention to it, you'll see in just the way it's written out, some third-person phrases in there. And you have to keep these things in mind. Moses gave the facts. The law, we call it the law of Moses, but it's the law of God. But God gave that to Moses to write down. God wrote the Ten Commandments, not Moses, with the finger of God. Moses wrote the laws. Civil law, dietary law, sanitary laws. God gave those to him, and he put that down as a constitution to govern the nation. And so we can learn a lot about the government of God simply by gleaning the principles of the Old Testament. And what you'll find is that Israel was unlike any nation on earth, or was designed to be. The body of Christ, which Israel foreshadows, is to be unlike any other entity on earth. There is a difference between a religious church and the body of Christ. So we have the shadow in the Old Testament. For instance, in the book of Exodus, where God's telling Moses to build the tabernacle, he shows him the original, which is in heaven. So that's a spiritual tabernacle. And he tells Moses, do not deviate from the pattern. You make this exactly like you was shown it in the mountain. And so Moses saw it in the spirit, conveyed what he saw to Bezalel, and Bezalel and Aholiab, along with other craftsmen, brought that spiritual thing into a visible arena to where people could have an understanding. But I can tell you that the Old Testament tabernacle of Moses is a type, it's a shadow, it's a natural thing pointing to a spiritual thing, which is the body of Christ, which is the temple of God. So the physical, natural, came first, pointing where the shadow substance is coming. If you see a shadow, you know there's a substance cast in the shadow. The Old Testament is the shadow, the Pentateuch. It's the shadow telling you that the substance is coming. It's all pointing to Jesus. Genesis, Jesus is there, the Word of God. Exodus, Jesus is there, the Deliverer. Leviticus, Jesus is there, the Law. You can follow it all the way down and you can see Jesus in all of these books. They're there to point to what's coming. Okay? Now that we're under the covenant, He's already come, but to get understanding of what He's actually done, we have to look at the Old Testament. You cannot understand redemption without understanding the Old Testament especially Leviticus, the 16th chapter, and then the book of Ruth. And you get the kinsman redeemer in the law of Moses. That's why it's so important to know the old. I had someone right here at this place, I think we were standing outside, that I don't read the Old Testament. I said, really? I said, no, you know, we're New Testament people. I said, well, won't you tear the Old Testament out, throw it in the trash, burn it or something if you don't need it? How stupid can you be? No, you do need it for understanding. We're not living under the old, but the old will assist us in understanding the new. That's why it's so important. Okay? Now, another thing. I've had people to ask me this. Well, who was before the beginning? What was before the beginning? I believe the way I said it. What was before the beginning? Jesus said, I am the beginning. The beginning came out of a spiritual existence of the Lord God Almighty. You understand? And so all these idiotic coneheads that are trying to figure out what was before God are just revealing their ignorance. Pointed heads, you know what I mean? Intellectuals. No common sense. No. It all came out of God. That would be like an invention telling you what was going on before the inventor. What does the invention know? All he knows is after the inventor invented him. And that's all we can possibly know is after the Creator has created us. We weren't there before. And so when Genesis says, in the beginning, I am so simple-minded that I take that literally. That's where it starts. In the beginning. Okay? People talk about all these people that lived before and all that, and yet God is calling Adam the first man. Well, I'm going to go with God. You with me? And this is why we want to just really emphasize the importance of the Old Testament and at the same time tell you that you're no longer under the law. You've been redeemed. But you need to know what you've been redeemed from and what the redemption has done for us, right? Okay. You got all that? Now, this is just an introduction to the Pentateuch. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill them. Well, how do you know what Jesus fulfilled if you don't know what the law and the prophets are? So it's extremely important to know the material. The Pentateuch can be viewed from a historical perspective, which is full of history. Or you can view it from a revelatory perspective as to what the Pentateuch's revealing to us about the New Covenant. So the Pentateuch's an excellent analogy and an excellent example for the church. And it's very important that we realize that the old gives insight into the new. A lot of people, I'm telling you, the generation we have today with these kids that think they know it all have zero experience. And yet they don't think they need anything from the other generation. I thank God for the information that I've drawn from previous generations. And I told my son when he was young, I said, you know, if you'll pay attention, you can know all I know, And then you can yoke that to what you know, and you can be twice as smart as me. But they'd rather be half dumb. So most of them need to get a job when they're 17 because they know it all. Because as you get older, you find out you don't know as much. And when you get my age, you find out you don't know much at all. Isn't that amazing? I was just talking to someone yesterday. Or maybe it was this morning. I said, isn't it amazing, the older we get, the more we have to do, and the more we realize how much we don't know? Interesting, isn't it? Well, I do know this, that I need to have revelation of the Old Testament in order to have revelation of the New Testament. And so the lives and procedures of those recorded in the Pentateuch actually serve as examples of how we should or should not conduct our lives. Paul actually said that the Old was written as an example for us. It's for our admonition. Well, how can you know the example if you never study the example? Important to look at the example. The Pentateuch is full of principles that we must learn. Otherwise, the negative side of history will repeat itself. Isn't it amazing how history repeats itself? We didn't learn from the previous generation. The thing that took them down, we want to do the same thing and go down with them, thinking it won't happen to us. Listen, if you do the same thing the same way, you're going to get the same results. And to think otherwise is foolish. So let's not repeat history. The Pentateuch is a revelation of Jesus and the church. That's why it's so important to know it. And if you'll pay attention as we go through this, you see Jesus. You see the church in it. As a matter of fact, Paul referred to Israel as the church in the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? But you have to know what church is. Not a building, but people who are called out from the masses. What is the church? The body of Christ. People who are called out from the mass. You get all that? Okay. So, the Pentateuch is also referred to as the Torah. It contains the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Chronologically, the Pentateuch covers a period of time from the creation until the end of the Mosaic era. That's the Pentateuch. You understand, there in Deuteronomy, Moses is died and buried. Okay? Although Moses was not alive at creation, obviously, and his death is recorded in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, he's believed to be the author of the Pentateuch, but as I said before, he wrote down the facts and somebody else compiled it into this Torah, or this Book of the Law, as it's often called. So then the Pentateuch is a shadow of God's desire. It's not the substance. Jesus is the substance. Okay? You have something you want to say?
I want to go back to this point here. Although Moses was not alive at creation and his death is recorded in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, he's believed to be the author of the Pentateuch. Well, y'all know the Pentateuch starts with Genesis, right? In the beginning, and we're going to go through creation. How could he possibly know that?
He wasn't even born then. Right? You don't see his birth till Exodus.
Have y'all ever thought about that? Well, remember he was called up. He spent time with the Lord.
This is the way history was done at the beginning. This generation told this generation what happened while they were alive. And then that generation would tell the next generation. That's why in the law, it says to teach your children. You talk about it when you get up, when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you go to bed at night. You keep the Word of God before them all the time. Memorials were set up as reminders, so when your descendants in days to come ask, what's this group of stones for? Then you tell them the history that occurred, how God parted the Red Sea, God parted Jordan, whatever the case was. The stones were with the Jordan, okay? And so history was handed down from one generation to another. Now, what is so interesting today in the last several years, history when I went to school is not the same as history today. They don't teach the history. They teach what they want you to believe. They don't record the facts. And so what we have here is facts to be handed from this generation to this generation to this generation. And the reason nations go down is because they violate the Word of God and they don't pass it on to the next generation. Kids right now, and I'm going to call them kids, I'm old enough to do that, in this city, they don't even go to church and don't take their children to church. So what can they possibly know about God? What they're getting off of some TV or YouTube or Facebook or chat or whatever, they're not going to truth to get truth. You don't get truth out of the world. You get truth by the Spirit of God. Okay? And so, let's go to the Word of God. Now I interrupted. Did you have some more you wanted to say there?
No, I just wanted y'all to bring back the point that, number one, this is God's inspired Word. Number two, you think about, and we talked about it this, I think, the other day, like Paul was called up into the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the revelations that were given to him because he said, you know, man can't even utter them, right? He wasn't allowed.
Unspeakable.
Unspeakable. We don't know when Moses spent time with God up on the mount, all that was shown to him, do we? But we do know that he's attributed to recording the things that were told to him, right?
It didn't take 40 days and nights to get 10 commandments. So God was telling Moses a lot of things that you and I don't know. And then he goes back up after he breaks those and spends another 40 days and nights with God. And so, if my math's right, he spent 80 days and nights in the presence of God, just the two trips on the mount. And then it was a regular thing. After he came down, he had a tent set up called the Tent of Congregation, to where he would go in and the cloud would settle down on the tent and God would talk to him. And Joshua would go in there with him and God would talk to Joshua. Sometimes Moses left, Joshua would stay in there. Why? Because Joshua's going to be the successor of Moses. And so Joshua's getting first-hand information, not all second-hand. And a lot of people overlook that. And most people are dependent on second-hand information today. They're not getting in the presence of God and hearing the Holy Spirit speak to them for themselves. That's why we put so much emphasis on you get into the Scriptures and they'll get into you. You subject yourself to the Spirit of God and you'll reflect the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of the world. Okay?
You know, we are to consume all of Jesus, aren't we? All of Him. We're not to leave anything out, right? We consume all of Him. We know John tells us, because he had revelation of this, that Jesus is the Word. So we need to consume all of the Word, don't we?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. The Pentateuch can be compared to the alphabet. And many of you know the alphabet is only a tool, but it is a major tool. Mm-hmm. That tool is used to formulate words which will formulate messages or create mm-hmm. messages, right? And so the alphabet is not the message, but when the letters are properly arranged and you get the words, that will convey the message. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what the Pentateuch is doing. It's getting us the words in a way to convey God's message to us. And he's having to deal with natural people in a natural way. You understand, under the old covenant, people were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. God's appeal to people was from the outside. Today, God speaks to us by his Spirit from the inside. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, he is conveying his message to a natural man in a way a natural man can receive it. And so, like the alphabet, when the Pentateuch is properly used, it conveys the message of Jesus. Not by name, but there's something coming that's going to fulfill everything that we're doing. And it's going to be a better way. So the Pentateuch reveals the beginning, it reveals the process, and it reveals the conclusion of redemption. Think about that one. The natural comes first, and then the spiritual. So we must always remember that the shadow refers to the substance. The shadow is not the substance. How many of you have ever seen detail in a shadow? You don't know what the person looks like by the shadow, do you? Well, I'll answer for you. No. Okay. But what's that saying? It's telling you that there is something real that's coming. And that's what the Pentateuch is doing. It's telling us that something real is coming, and we're getting glimpses, but we're not getting all the detail to where we can draw a portrait of it, okay?
So go back right to the first page of the Pentateuch, your outline. We had our scripture reading listed, and then we had Matthew 5:17. Remember, Jesus was speaking, and he said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." He didn't come to destroy. He came to fulfill. So he fulfilled all of the law, didn't he? He fulfilled the prophecies that were spoken about him. Pete just said the other, I think it was on a Sunday, Bible prophecy will be fulfilled. That's just a given.
And much of it already has been.
It really has. It's quite amazing. Before we move into Genesis, I want to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, Jesus said that not one jot or one tittle of the law would fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but that will not pass away until it is fulfilled. Now, jot and tittle, we would say in English, the dot of the I or the crossing of a T or mm-hmm. an apostrophe. Everything is absolutely detailed, has to be fulfilled. Okay? So we know that when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Was finished. Everything required of the physical man to fulfill the law was fulfilled. Now once it's fulfilled, it's no longer needed. So we don't look at the law that's fulfilled, we look at the one who fulfilled the law, and we keep our attention on Him, and then we'll be doing the will of God. The law was simply to get man to know the will of God and do the will of God. Well, what is it under the new covenant? What's the work that we have under the new covenant? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work. Okay? So you following all this? It's pointing us to Jesus because He's fulfilled all this law. Now let's find out what He fulfilled.
Speaking of fulfilling that law, I think about many times you'll hear people say, and I've said it myself, I stand before God the Father righteous. I'm in right standing because I have the righteousness of Jesus, right? Well, if we are united with Jesus and He's fulfilled the law, then we have too. It's a done thing. We rest in it. So we don't need to go back and try to fulfill all of this because it's already been done.
And you'll find that even in the Old Testament, with the men that were so godly, it says they were righteous in their generation.
Yeah.
In their generation. That means that they did more right than the rest of the generation. But they still needed a Redeemer. Okay? All right, our time's up here, so we'll stop and we'll pick back up here in the next session, okay?
Okay.